E, behavioral correlates to brain regions and networks. This lecture examines how specific brain structures support behavioral functions. We will explore cortical lobes and their subdivisions, analyze how brain connectivity shapes cognition and behavior, and examine the role of major subcortical structures, including the thalamus, basal ganglia, and limbic components. These neural systems collectively enable perception, memory, emotion, motor control, and decision-making. Cortical lobes. The cerebral cortex is organized into lobes named after the skull bones that overlay them: frontal, parietal, temporal, occipital, and the insula, which lies deep within the lateral sulcus. These lobes are specialized for distinct but interconnected cognitive, sensory, and motor functions. For example, the occipital lobe is specialized for visual processing, while the temporal lobe supports auditory perception and memory. The cortex is organized into layers and regions characterized by unique cytoarchitecture, a concept formalized in Brodmann's map. The cortex enables executive functions, including attention, planning, and problem solving. These capacities arise from the integrated activity of networks spanning multiple lobes. The frontal lobes, for instance, house critical motor and executive areas, while the parietal lobes integrate sensory input and spatial reasoning. Damage to any lobe disrupts the corresponding behavioral domain, emphasizing their specialized roles. The interaction among cortical lobes is not linear, but reciprocal and dynamic. The flow of information often cycles through multiple regions in recurrent loops. For instance, visual input processed in the occipital lobe may influence decision-making in the frontal lobe via connections with the parietal lobe. Such integrative processing supports goal-directed behavior. Brodmann areas, BA, based on cytoarchitecture, offer a functional map of the cortex. For example, BA4, primary motor cortex, differs from BA17, primary visual cortex, not only in location but also in the type of information processed and output generated. Clinical EEG, functional imaging, and lesion studies confirm that Brodmann areas correlate with specific cognitive and sensory motor functions. The cortical lobes are not isolated modules. They collaborate through dense connectivity and mutual modulation. For instance, emotional stimuli processed by the temporal lobe can shape the decision-making processes of the frontal lobe via the insular cortex. This functional integration underscores the interdependence of brain structures in behavior. Frontal lobes. The frontal lobes lie anterior to the central sulcus and contain several functionally distinct areas: the primary motor cortex, premotor cortex, Broca's area, and the prefrontal cortex. These regions collectively support voluntary movement, speech production, executive functions, and personality expression. Their influence extends across cognitive, emotional, and social domains. The primary motor cortex, BA4, located in the precentral gyrus, controls voluntary movements on the contralateral side of the body. It contains a somatotopic map, often depicted as the motor homunculus, with disproportionate representation given to areas requiring fine motor control, such as the hands and face. Damage to this region can result in paralysis or motor deficits, depending on the extent and location of the lexion. Rostral to the primary motor cortex lies the premotor cortex, BA6, which organizes movement patterns and prepares the motor system for execution. It interacts with the basal ganglia and cerebellum to coordinate complex sequences and anticipatory adjustments. The supplementary motor area, part of the premotor zone, contributes to internally generated movements and bimanual coordination. Broca's area, BA4445, in the dominant hemisphere is essential for speech production and syntactic processing. It enables the sequencing of sounds and the grammatical structuring of language. Lexians here lead to expressive aphasia, where individuals understand language but struggle to produce it fluently. Broca's area connects to Wernicke's area via the arcuate fasciculus, forming the dorsal language stream. The prefrontal cortex, PFC, encompassing BA9, 10, 11, 46, and 47 governs higher-order cognitive functions, such as planning, working memory, abstract reasoning, and emotional regulation. The dorsolateral PFC supports logical reasoning and task switching, while the ventromedial and orbitofrontal regions regulate reward-based decisions and social behavior. Dysfunction in these areas contributes to psychiatric disorders, including depression, ADHD, and frontal lobe syndromes. The lateralization of frontal lobe function yields clinical implications. The left DLPFC is associated with approach behaviors and positive affect, while the right DLPFC mediates withdrawal and threat vigilance. Hemispheric asymmetries are evident in EEG and fMRI studies, and therapeutic interventions such as neurofeedback and transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, often target these regions to modulate affective and cognitive states. The frontal lobes thus serve as the brain's command center for adaptive behavior. Anterior cingulate cortex, ACC. The anterior cingulate cortex, ACC, is a key hub within the medial frontal lobe that supports both cognitive and emotional processing. It bridges limbic structures and the prefrontal cortex, enabling the integration of emotional salience with executive control. Structurally, the ACC encompasses Brodmann areas 24, 32, and 33 and is subdivided into dorsal, cognitive, and ventral affective sectors. The dorsal ACC is more involved in attention, decision-making, and performance monitoring, while the ventral ACC contributes to emotional regulation and affective response. Functionally, the ACC is critical for conflict monitoring, error detection, and adaptive behavioral adjustment. For example, in tasks like the Stroop test, the ACC detects the incongruence between word meaning and ink color and signals the need for cognitive control. The ACC then recruits lateral prefrontal areas to resolve the conflict. This function extends to emotional contexts where discrepancies between facial expression and vocal tone are similarly processed. The ACC also plays a central role in pain perception and empathy. Neuroimaging studies show that the same regions of the ACC are activated during both physical pain and social exclusion, indicating its role in encoding the unpleasantness of painful stimuli. Moreover, real-time fMRI feedback training has demonstrated that individuals can learn to modulate ACC activity to reduce perceived pain, highlighting its role in interoceptive awareness and self-regulation. Clinically, dysfunction in the ACC is associated with numerous psychiatric and neurological disorders. Hyperactivity in the ACC has been linked to anxiety and obsessive-compulsive disorder, while hypoactivity is observed in depression and ADHD. Lexions to the ACC can result in akinetic mutism, characterized by profound apathy and a lack of spontaneous behavior despite preserved consciousness. The ACC is part of the salience network, working closely with the insula to detect behaviorally relevant stimuli and coordinate appropriate responses. It acts as a switchboard that helps reallocate cognitive resources from the default mode network to executive control systems during task engagement. Its strategic position and wide connectivity make the ACC a critical node in behavioral regulation and cognitive-emotional integration. Parahippocampal gyri. The parahippocampal gyri are cortical structures located in the medial temporal lobe, adjacent to the hippocampus. They are critical for contextual association and spatial navigation. Functionally, the parahippocampal cortex contributes to encoding environmental contexts, such as the layout of a familiar room or city street. These contextual maps are essential for episodic memory and orienting behavior in space. Neuroimaging research shows strong activation in the parahippocampal region when individuals view scenes, landscapes, or spatial layouts. This specialization has led to the identification of a subregion known as the parahippocampal place area, PPA, which responds selectively to visual information about places. This area allows us to construct and recall the spatial frameworks in which experiences occur, thereby grounding memories in context. The parahippocampal gyri are also involved in non-spatial contextual processing, such as linking events that occur close together in time. This supports the formation of coherent episodic memories that include both what happened and where it happened. The integration of spatial and non-spatial elements enables a flexible retrieval of memories under varying circumstances. The parahippocampal gyri share extensive reciprocal connections with the hippocampus, entorhinal cortex, and retrosplenial cortex. These connections support information flow between sensory association areas and the memory system. Damage to this region, as observed in early Alzheimer's disease, leads to severe impairments in memory for places and events. Emotionally salient memories also engage the parahippocampal region, likely through its interaction with the amygdala. This relationship allows contextual cues to trigger emotional responses, such as anxiety, when entering a location associated with trauma. The parahippocampal gyri thus serve as a convergence zone for memory, space, and affect, forming a neural basis for situational awareness and adaptive behavior. Parietal lobes. The parietal lobes are located posterior to the frontal lobes and are primarily associated with somatosensory integration and spatial processing. Anatomically, they include Brodmann areas 1, 2, and 3 in the primary somatosensory cortex and areas 5, 7, 39, and 40 in the posterior and inferior parietal lobules. The parietal cortex receives and interprets sensory input from the body, allowing us to perceive touch, pressure, temperature, and pain. The primary somatosensory cortex, S1, located in the postcentral gyrus, receives tactile information from the contralateral side of the body. Each body region is somatotopically represented, resulting in a sensory homunculus similar to the motor cortex. The adjacent secondary somatosensory cortex, S2, integrates input from both hemispheres and contributes to more complex tactile perception, such as recognizing object texture and shape. The superior parietal lobule plays a crucial role in proprioception, the sense of the body's position in space, and spatial orientation. It interacts with the visual and motor systems to guide reaching and grasping. The inferior parietal lobule, particularly in the left hemisphere, is involved in symbolic functions such as reading, writing, and arithmetic. It also contributes to language and verbal working memory. The right parietal lobe is specialized for spatial awareness and attention. Damage to this region can produce hemispatial neglect, where individuals fail to attend to the left side of space. This condition highlights the parietal lobe's role in constructing a coherent representation of the environment and directing attention within that space. It is also involved in distinguishing self-generated movements from external forces. In addition to sensory and spatial functions, the parietal lobes integrate information from multiple sensory modalities to create unified percepts. The angular gyrus, BA39, and supramarginal gyrus, BA40, form part of the default mode network and support functions such as theory of mind and autobiographical memory. Dysfunction in parietal circuits has been implicated in disorders ranging from dyscalculia to Alzheimer's disease. Thus, the parietal lobes are an essential interface between sensation, cognition, and action. Temporal lobes. The temporal lobes are situated beneath the lateral sulcus and extend posteriorly to meet the occipital lobes. They encompass Brodmann areas 20, 21, 22, 37, and 38, and serve multiple functions, including auditory processing, language comprehension, memory, and object recognition. The superior temporal gyrus houses the primary auditory cortex, which receives auditory input from the medial geniculate nucleus of the thalamus. This region is tonotopically organized to decode pitch and rhythm. Wernicke's area, located in the posterior superior temporal gyrus of the dominant hemisphere, typically the left, plays a central role in language comprehension. It processes spoken language and connects to Broca's area via the arcuate fasciculus. Lesions to this area cause Wernicke's aphasia, characterized by fluent but nonsensical speech and impaired understanding. Wernicke's area exemplifies the specialization of temporal lobe structures for semantic processing. The middle and inferior temporal gyri contribute to higher-order visual processing and the recognition of objects, faces, and scenes. The fusiform gyrus, located at the junction of the temporal and occipital lobes, includes the fusiform face area, specializing in facial recognition. Damage to this region can result in prosopagnosia, an inability to recognize familiar faces. These visual functions demonstrate the temporal lobe's integrative role across sensory domains. The medial temporal lobe, including the hippocampus, amygdala, and surrounding cortices, is essential for memory formation. The entorhinal and perirhinal cortices relay information between the hippocampus and neocortex, supporting declarative memory consolidation. Lesions in this region, such as those resulting from temporal lobe epilepsy or neurodegeneration, lead to profound memory deficits. The right temporal lobe is particularly involved in nonverbal memory, musical perception, and emotional prosody. It helps interpret tone of voice and contextual cues in social interactions. Bilateral damage to the temporal lobes can result in Kluver-Bucy syndrome, marked by hyperorality, visual agnosia, and emotional blunting. Thus, the temporal lobes serve as a multimodal hub, integrating sensory information with memory and emotion. Occipital lobes. The occipital lobes are located at the posterior region of the cerebral cortex and are primarily responsible for visual processing. They encompass Brodmann areas 17, 18, and 19. Area 17, also known as the primary visual cortex, or V1, receives visual input from the lateral geniculate nucleus of the thalamus. It processes fundamental attributes such as edge orientation, motion, and light intensity. Surrounding the primary visual cortex are the secondary visual areas, V2, V3, and beyond, which further analyze complex visual stimuli, including color, depth, and form. These association areas integrate information from both eyes to construct a coherent visual representation. They also project to the temporal and parietal regions for object recognition and spatial localization, respectively. This division of labor underlies the ventral what and dorsal where visual pathways. The ventral stream extends from the occipital lobe to the inferior temporal lobe and facilitates object identification, including perceiving faces, shapes, and scenes. The dorsal stream projects to the parietal lobe and processes spatial relationships and motion, supporting visually guided actions. Disruption of these streams can lead to visual agnosias or motion blindness, depending on the site of damage. The occipital cortex is functionally lateralized. While both hemispheres contribute to visual perception, the left hemisphere may be more involved in detail-oriented processing, and the right hemisphere in global visual patterns. Bilateral damage to the occipital lobes can result in cortical blindness, where individuals cannot consciously perceive visual stimuli despite intact eyes and optic nerves. In addition to conscious vision, the occipital lobe supports unconscious visual processing. Phenomena such as blindsight, where individuals can respond to visual stimuli without awareness, illustrate the existence of parallel visual systems. These include subcortical pathways through the superior colliculus and pulvinar, which bypass the primary visual cortex. Thus, the occipital lobes serve as the cortical foundation for both conscious and unconscious aspects of vision. Insular cortex. The insular cortex, or insula, is a deeply buried cortical structure within the lateral sulcus, separating the temporal and parietal lobes. It comprises anterior and posterior regions, each with distinct functional roles. The insula integrates interoceptive signals, internal body states such as hunger, thirst, pain, and temperature, with emotional and cognitive processes. Its connectivity with the anterior cingulate cortex forms the backbone of the salience network. The anterior insula is especially important for emotional awareness and social cognition. It enables us to interpret others' feelings through empathy and assess risk in uncertain contexts. Functional imaging has shown its activation during tasks involving disgust, love, anticipation of pain, and financial decision-making. The insula also modulates the autonomic nervous system, influencing heart rate, blood pressure, and respiratory rhythms in response to salient stimuli. The posterior insula is more involved in primary interoceptive processing and sensory-motor integration. It receives input from the thalamus about visceral and somatic sensations and contributes to the body's representation in the brain. This allows for the conscious perception of internal states, forming the basis for emotional feelings tied to bodily responses. Disruption in this region has been linked to deficits in body awareness and chronic pain syndromes. Clinically, the insula is implicated in addiction, anxiety, depression, and eating disorders. Its activation correlates with craving in substance use disorders and with visceral responses to emotional stimuli. Structural damage to the insula, such as from stroke, can eliminate addiction-related urges, an effect observed in cases of sudden smoking cessation following insular infarcts. The insular cortex acts as a convergence zone, coordinating emotional, cognitive, and physiological data to guide behavior. It is a crucial component of the central autonomic network and the networked brain more broadly, dynamically switching attention between internal states and external demands. This role underpins its involvement in mindfulness, emotional regulation, and decision-making under uncertainty.